Welcome to day 88 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, and today we are entering into the very last chapters of the book of Joshua. It has been an exciting adventure following Joshua and the people of Israel into the promised land. Today we're reading Joshua chapter 22, 23, and 24 from the New American Standard Bible. And we will hear Joshua's farewell address to the people and then see the end of his life. He ended well. This is a man that ended well. And that's something that each one of us desire, to end well. And Joshua, you could say, ended very well. And you'll see that as we read today. So join me as we read Joshua 22, beginning at verse 1. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have listened to my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore, turn now and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways, and keep his commandments, and hold fast to him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the one half tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half, Joshua gave a possession among their brothers westward beyond the Jordan. So when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them and said, "Return to your tents with great riches and with very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, iron, and with very many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers." The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned home and departed from the sons of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they had possessed, according to the command of the Lord through Moses. When they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a large altar in appearance. And the sons of Israel heard it and said, "Behold, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan on the side belonging to the sons of Israel." When the sons of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. Then the sons of Israel sent to the sons of Reuben and to the sons of Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 chiefs, one chief for each father's household from each of the tribes of Israel. And each one of them was the head of his father's household among the thousands of Israel. They came to the sons of Reuben and to the sons of Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this unfaithful act which you have committed against the God of Israel, turning away from following the Lord this day by building yourselves an altar to rebel against the Lord this day? Is not the iniquity of Peor enough for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day, although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah act unfaithfully in the things under the ban, and wrath fall on all the congregation of Israel? And that man did not perish alone in his iniquity. Then the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh answered and spoke to the heads of the family of Israel. The mighty one, God, the Lord, the mighty one, God, the Lord, he knows, and may Israel itself know. If it was in rebellion or if in an unfaithful act against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built us an altar to turn away from following the Lord, or if to offer a burnt offering or grain offering on it, or if to offer sacrifices of peace offerings on it, may the Lord himself require it. But truly, we have done this out of concern for a reason, saying, in time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between us and you. You sons of Reuben and sons of Gad, you have no portion in the Lord. So your sons may make our sons stop fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice. Rather, it shall be a witness between us and you, and between our generations after us, that we are to perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, so that your sons will not say to our sons in time to come, you have no portion in the Lord. Therefore, we said, it shall also come about, if they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, then we shall say, see, the copy of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, rather it is a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away from following the Lord this day by building an altar for a burnt offering, for a grain offering, or for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. So when Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the congregation, even the heads of the families of Israel who were with them, heard the words which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the sons of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said to the sons of Reuben, and to the sons of Gad, and to the sons of Manasseh, today we know that the Lord is in our midst, because you have not committed this unfaithful act against the Lord. Now you have delivered the sons of Israel from the hand of the Lord. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the leaders returned from the sons of Reuben and from the sons of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the sons of Israel, and brought back word to them. The word pleased the sons of Israel, and the sons of Israel blessed God, and they did not speak of going up against them in war to destroy the land in which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad were living. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar Witness, for they said, it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. Chapter 23. Now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you, not one of them has failed. It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. Chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and their judges, and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst, and afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you." The people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now, therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness for us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. It came about after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt, at Shechem, in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him at Gibeah of Phinehas his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim. This is the end of today's scripture reading and the end of the book of Joshua. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Our Bible passages today gave us so much to think about the power of a life that's devoted to God. Because in today's reading, we find Joshua's farewell address to the people of Israel, a recounting of the history of walking with the Lord out of Egypt and into the promised land, about God's faithfulness and about Joshua's faithfulness as well. And then we see him come to the end of his life. But I want to say this. To me, Joshua is one of the most outstanding examples of a man who is utterly devoted to the Lord. And we're going to take a look at his character qualities today because it's very profound. But it reminds me of an old story that was told, and whether this is actually true or not, I don't know. But it is the story that's been told about some of the original Olympic Games in Greece, and that there was actually a race that the winner was not the runner that crossed the finish line first, but it was a lengthy race where the runners carried a torch, and the winner was the one whose torch was still burning when they crossed the finish line. And I love that illustration because to me, it gives us a picture of a person's life. When you cross the finish line of your life, you want it to be with your torch still burning for the Lord, strong and clear. And to me, that is the story of Joshua. When he came to the end of his life, his torch for the Lord, his devotion to God, his strength of faith in God, his commitment to God was still burning very brightly for all of the Israelites to see. And to me, it's very profound that one of the most outstanding statements that Joshua makes, and I find it very, very beautiful, is the one that's in Joshua 24, verse 15, where he's challenging the Israelites to choose who they will serve that day. They could serve the gods of the land that their original ancestors, Abraham's father, Nahor, came out of a land where they worshiped idols. They were idol worshipers. And then the Lord led Abraham. He told the whole story to them, the history of their own ancestors. He said, you could worship those gods, or you could worship the gods of the Amorites, the land that we have come into, this Canaanite land. You could worship those gods. And he goes on to say in Joshua 24, verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That truly could be called Joshua's life statement or mission statement for his life, that no matter what happened, he and his household, his family, they chose to serve God through thick and thin, through battles, through wilderness, wanderings, through coming out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, through everything. Joshua maintained a faithful devotion to God. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. Choose who you're going to serve, but this is our decision. We will serve the Lord. And truly, Joshua carried his torch of devotion to the Lord to the finish line of his life. And I love that about Joshua. And that is God's call upon all of our lives. You know, it doesn't matter how you start out. I mean, obviously, we would all like to start out well, where we're raised by a warm, loving Christian family who raised us in the ways of God, trained us in the ways of God, and sent us out into life to love and serve the Lord. But many people do not have such an experience. But you do not have to mourn how you began. If you have found Christ Jesus as your Savior, you have come into the family of God, you've accepted Christ into your life, you have the Spirit of God residing in you, He's made you a new creation, then don't worry about how you started. Concern yourself about how you're going to finish your race, finish your life. Joshua finished well, though he started in a land of slavery. He started out in Egypt, born into slavery. Perhaps your beginning wasn't so illustrious, but You can finish well. Once you've come into relationship with Christ and you have the Spirit of God, you can be led of God and you can live your life from this point forward in devotion to God, where you can say, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And then you seek God and you pursue God's direction for every area of your life. And with that said, you can then enter into a lifestyle and a pursuit of God in your life that will cause you to finish well, like Joshua did. I love this statement that is said in the 24th chapter of Joshua in the 31st verse, and it says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua." Now, why was that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua? It's because of his leadership. It's because of his example. It was because of his devotion to God that those people who were following him, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And when one man in the camp, Achan, chose to disobey the Lord, he was dealt with swiftly and very intensely by the leader Joshua, because the Lord showed him that the sin of that one man affected the entire camp of Israel, and it brought disaster upon the camp, where they suddenly were not able to stand before their enemies, and they were driven back by the enemy instead of being victorious in battle against the enemy. And that's a word for us today, of course, that we can't stand before the enemy if we allow any disobedience in our life that opens a door where the enemy can have free reign and bring us defeat and disaster instead of victory. So Joshua, as a leader, was very swift to deal with that. And so under his strong leadership of devotion to God and obedience to God, Joshua was able to lead the people so that they never strayed away from God to worship other gods during the time of his leadership. What a fantastic epitaph for Joshua. All Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. That is powerful. That is a testimony to this man's devotion to the Lord. But there were many qualities about Joshua that are great examples to us. First of all, I would like to say that it was clear from his youngest days that he was a man of worship. That I will say that from the beginning. You will remember the verse that told us that when Moses would go up to the tabernacle and Joshua, his assistant, his servant, he was referred to as Moses' minister, and that word meant servant. So Joshua, servant of Moses, would go up to the tabernacle with him and wait upon the Lord. And then it said when Moses would go back down to the people, that Joshua would stay at the tabernacle. He loved to be in the presence of God. So you could say, first of all, Joshua was a man of worship. He loved to be in God's presence. That is a beautiful statement about any person who's devoted to the Lord. He loved the presence of God. So that was the number one characteristic of Joshua from his earliest days. Secondly, we see that Joshua was a man of faith. When all the other spies, beside Caleb, brought back an evil report about what they saw in the promised land, Joshua and Caleb brought back a report of faith. They said, it's a beautiful land. It flows with milk and honey. Look at the fruit of it. Yes, there's giants, but we can surely overcome it because God will do it for us. So Joshua's position was a position of faith. It wasn't trust in themselves and their strategic military capabilities. They were a group of former slaves. They were hardly a military power to be reckoned with, but Joshua and Caleb as well, they were not leaning on their own strength or the strength of the men of war that they had. They were dependent and trusting in the reality of God's promise that he had made to the people of Israel, that they would take the promised land, they would defeat the enemies in the land, they would take possession of it. So based on what they had heard from the Lord, Joshua and Caleb both said, we can overcome it. And that was a dynamic example of the fact that Joshua was a man of faith. Another awesome example of his faith in God and God's power and God's promise to me is the amazing story, and we really didn't deal with it, though we read through it, was when Joshua prayed for the sun and the moon to stand still in order to give his army more daylight so that they could continue the battle and not allow the enemy darkness, so they would have time to regroup and be able to fight back the next day. So Joshua asked the Lord. He totally trusted that he could pray and ask God to make the sun stand still so they could have more hours of daylight to fight and finish off the battle. Now that's a man of faith. Have you ever prayed for the sun to stand still? Obviously, you most likely probably haven't needed that situation to occur, but there's many situations in our lives that would require faith to ask the Lord and believe God would answer such a prayer. Joshua was a man of faith. The other characteristic that really stands out to me about Joshua, and is one for all of us, was the fact that Joshua was a man of honor. He was a man who kept his word. You'll remember that he honored the agreement that was made by the spies that he sent into Jericho, the two men who stayed at the house of Rahab, and they made a deal with her. They made a promise to her that if she did not reveal their whereabouts to the men of Jericho and the king of Jericho, that they would save her and her entire household. And she was to put the red cord out her window to mark her house so that when they came in to Jericho to take it, the city, that they would go and rescue her and her family out and get her out and not have her killed with the rest of the city that was going to be destroyed. You know, Joshua could have just ignored that promise that was made by his men, but he was a man of honor, and he recognized and honored the agreement made by the spies that he had sent representing him. And he saved her family alive when the whole city of Jericho was taken. And the other dynamic example of honor was when he honored the promise that was made by himself and the other princes of Israel to the Gibeonites, the ones who had deceived them about being people who live far away, and they didn't live in the immediate area where the Lord had told them to destroy all the inhabitants, and they promised they were really from far away. They just wanted to make an accord with them that they would not be killed by Joshua and his people. And the truth was, the Gibeonites were near neighbors or lived quite nearby. And even after discovering the deception that the Gibeonites had perpetrated against them, Joshua required the Israelites to keep the agreement that they had made to protect them, and then ended up defending them against invading armies. So this shows just how much of a man of honor, a man of his word, Joshua was. He made a covenant, and he was a covenant-keeping man, like his God was and is a covenant-keeping God. So these outstanding characteristics of Joshua, aside from his courage, aside from his great leadership ability, these character qualities of honor and of being a man of faith and being a man of worship and loving the presence of God, these are all beautiful character qualities that God would like to see in every one of his people. And so I want to encourage you today to take Joshua's life as an example of how God wants us to walk with the Lord. Faithfully devoted to God, keeping everything that's not of God out of our lives, being careful to observe, to do what the Lord calls us to do in His Word, being careful to be a person of faith, a person who speaks by faith, that walks by faith and not by sight, just like Joshua did, being a person who loves to worship the Lord, being a person who's a person of honor and a person who keeps his word. And then one who always points people to serving God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua said. And it was true about his life. He not only preached that, he lived that. And so Joshua ended very, very well. I love how Joshua ended his life so that it could be said about him after he died that the people of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, meaning all the days Joshua was leader, they stayed with God because they had a leader who continually reminded them to stay faithful to God. And his farewell addresses that he made, and there's two that are listed in these chapters we just read, both of them, he exhorted the people to stay faithful to the Lord. And so it was that they did as long as Joshua was alive, and also the leaders that outlived Joshua, they remained faithful to God. So this is a word for us today to be faithful to the Lord in all of our days so that we might end well, end our lives well. And it can be said of us after we die, this person stayed faithful and was devoted to God. Again, I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter how your life began. Once you have found the Lord, you have found Christ as your Savior, you have completely given your heart to the Lord and you're allowing God to lead you now, then God can be the transformer of your story so that your story will be one of ending well as Joshua did. So I want to encourage you with that today. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.